Please turn to hymn number 376. 376. I'll be the first song this evening. Again, in Gary's absence, this evening is going to be another youth-led service. Now, this time, 8 of the young men of the congregation have picked a verse or a passage that they're going to read, and then they're going to share some of their thoughts about that verse. Where our theme this evening is practical Christian living. So they're each going to give us an example from their lives, or just some encouragement that each of us could use to apply to our lives to work on this concept of practical Christian living. So I encourage you to really pay close attention to what each and every one of them have prepared. Before Gavin comes up and starts us off, we'll sing hymn number 376. 376, Angry Words.
Good evening. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In our past or recent times, we have all had a person that we may dislike. But God wants us to all love one another, even our enemies. Treat others like we would want to be treated. Personally, in my life, I would get into a fight with this individual so bad that we got suspended 3 times. But finally, I just started to love that person and like that person and talk to the individual as I would want them to treat me. Now we are actually pretty good friends. And God wants us, again, to treat each other as we would want to be treated and love one another. And I want to end by, again, reading Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:33. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." I believe this verse speaks to everyone differently. But as a young man, I can relate more to the challenges that teenagers and young adults are going through currently. I myself have been making the transition from having my parents make all the decisions to it now being all to me. This has its pros and cons, more freedom and more responsibility. Every single decision I make reflects more on my character and more importantly, on my Christian walk. For the few months I've been here, I've had to overcome multiple temptations to go to places I know I shouldn't and hang around people who may seem fun, but I know are bad company. The people you surround yourself with in your life influence you. This can either be for the better or for the worst. Their habits rub off on you. You don't notice it until you look at yourself from a different perspective. You guys are just as much human as I am, and I just want to remind everybody here tonight to take a step back and look at who your friends are right now. And this applies to everybody. And ask yourself, are they good company? Do they change me for the better? Just think about that while you're at work, at school, or out hanging with your friends. And now we'll have the opening prayer.
I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There has never been a person on this earth that has not sinned except for Jesus Christ. We all make mistakes in our lives. Some of them are easy to learn from, and most of the time, we don't make them again. But there are some mistakes where it is hard to learn from, and we keep making that same mistake. We dig ourselves so deep that we completely give up on ourselves and make sin dominant in our lives. Personally, I've had trouble with that myself. I would dig myself so deep into my mistakes and in my sin that I would choose to give up. But then I read 1 John, and I realized that I am only human and I'm going to fall short. So it's up to me and you to repent of those sins and learn from our mistakes, instead of staying in that hole and not make a difference. I'll read 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9 again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll be reading verse 13. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'm also going to be breaking apart this verse, and we're going to analyze it part by part. So let's read the first part. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So we see here in this part, we are not alone. A lot of people, or at least one person that you may know or may not know, has been through the same temptation as you. So no matter what temptation you are in, hard or easy, someone has been through it, so you are not alone. So let's read the second part. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So obviously here, God is faithful, and he never breaks a promise. He knows who we are. He knows what we are capable of, how much temptation we are able to handle. So he will not put us in any type of situation or temptation that will make us only choose a sin. There will always be a choice. And that leads us to the third part. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So every temptation that we are in, there's going to be a door. God puts a door for us to go to. We just need to find it and push through it. And as an example, I have a buddy of mine from freshman year. He loved the party. He loved going to parties. He loved drinking alcohol and stuff like that. But one day, he came to me and I talked to him, and he decided to stop drinking. That determination took a while, but eventually he stopped and he found his door, which was a bottle. He would always bring a bottle to a party with juice in it, and it would have a note: drink this instead. So it would be tied to his wrist, and if he goes to grab something, he sees the bottle hanging, and he goes, oh, let me drink this instead. That was his door. So we need to find our door in any temptation that we are in and go through it.
There's a young woman I know, and she is known to be a consistent, optimistic person. She is the type to brighten up anyone's day. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, I'll read, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." This woman I know, she earned the name Miss Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine, because she's pretty short. But because during the morning, during work, she will walk in with a bright attitude and not ashamed at all. And though people disliked it, she still kept that little bundle of joy that she embraced. If you read with me to chapter 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." In my mind, I felt ashamed, and I should, because I'm not putting that effort into developing that habit that she has. The fact that she's not a Christian and can keep that outlook is amazing. Verse 16, "Let your light shine, let so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." As Christians, let us not avoid these actions. Let us not be ashamed of God, your goals, and your spiritual mission. And most importantly, because we are Christians, let's not show inequality to those who are not. We're not know-it-alls, and we're not perfect. Saying that, we can all learn a thing or two from them positively.
Will you please turn with me to 2 Timothy verses chapter 2, verses 15. That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As everyone knows, I work at McDonald's. Yay. Sometimes my coworkers come to me and ask me, why am I never quick to anger? Why am I so nice to others? And why am I so impatient? Why do I not curse? As Christians, we are supposed to behave in those ways. We are supposed to shine our lights to others. To continue from what Andre said, we are to glorify God when we shine our lights. When my coworkers ask me why I do the things I do, I want to tell them through scriptures why, but I can never remember where those scriptures are at. As the Bible states, we must study to show ourselves approved. If we do these things, if we study every day, then the next time someone asks you, why do you do the things that you do? You can give them chapter verse for the reason why you do those things. And in turn, give God the glory. You never know. You just might be able to start a study with that person and help them choose the right path.
Good evening. Tonight, I just want to talk to you all a little bit about humility. And so, if you would, please turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. That is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. And it reads, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So tonight, I really just want to focus on that last part of the verse where it says, count others more significant than yourselves. Some of the young men were discussing the other night about this verse, and they came up with a great illustration that I think we could apply to our lives and to help better apply this verse to our lives. So, I want you to think of someone who you respect greatly. For some, it might be a sports figure, political figure, and for some of us in this room, it might be someone who works for Apologia Express. For me, my person, I know it would be either Kyle Butt or Eric Lyons. So, I want you to pick this person, and then imagine you're sitting in this room with them. You're talking to them, you're having a conversation. How would your disposition be towards this person? If y'all are having a conversation, would you interrupt them? I find that hard to believe. I don't think that anyone in here would interrupt their person of great respect. I mean, if you're talking to someone who you highly respect, you're going to hang on to every single word they say. I know for me, if I'm sitting in a room with Kyle Butt and he's talking, you better believe I'm not going to say a word. But why is that? That's because I'm counting him so much greater than myself. And so I just think if we take this mindset of making others greater than ourselves, treating every person we come into contact with as someone who we respect so highly, I think we can see a huge difference in the interactions we have in evangelism and in our personal relationships.
I will be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Again, that's Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. It is so important in our Christian walk that we keep our focus on the ultimate goal, heaven. We must channel our efforts toward getting to heaven and being with our Creator and by living right before God. Making it to heaven is certainly my most ambitious goal. It is a far greater achievement than anything that we can ever achieve here, or earthly achievement we can accomplish here. Always, we must try and focus on the goal and never, ever give up. And never, ever give up. It will be very feasible to stay focused on the goal by just attending worship services here and being with like-minded individuals who can edify you regularly. We must recognize that our citizenship will be in heaven much, much longer than here in America or anywhere else on earth, for that matter, if we do make it there.
Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. As Christians, we all have gifts, or we all today would call them talents, that we possess. They're all unique. And now today, we don't get these special gifts or talents by the laying on of hands of the elders. They don't come over to us and pat us on the head. We get special talents or things like that, but we're born with them. Nevertheless, again, we each possess skills. We each possess talents that we can use to further the kingdom of God. Witnessing these eight young men that have come before us to preach this evening should encourage each and every one of us to push ourselves to do more for the kingdom. Each and every one of them have pushed themselves to give their all to the talent that was given to each and every one of them. I can assure you that although they all looked cool, they all looked calm, they looked very collected, that many of them probably were nervous. And many of them probably even felt like they couldn't do this. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not going to come in front of a crowd of people and do this. But they all did anyway. They pushed themselves to do this. They were able to do this by reading the scriptures, by meditating on them for some time, by practicing what they were going to say, and then by actually doing it. This is how our Christian walk should be. This is how we should be as Christians, pushing our fears aside, pushing ourselves aside, the pride that we have inside of us, all these different things that we may think can get in the way of us doing what we really need to do. By pushing ourselves aside, we can allow God to come shining through our lives. So, again, there have been eight different examples of practical Christian living, things that we can work on in order to be more Christ-like. Now, if you're anything like me, I know you can't remember each and every all of them, all eight, but what we would like to encourage you to do is to pick at least one. Pick at least one of the things that you heard tonight to work on the next week. Are you going to argue with each other, or are you going to show more love by letting things go and putting others first? Are you going to work on being more pure by staying out of those situations you shouldn't be in and by staying with pure people? Are you going to work on getting back up after you sin by confessing them to God and also by confessing them to others? Are you going to work on having a joyous attitude like Andre talked about so that those around you can see the hope that is inside of you? Are you going to work on finding your doors of escape when you face your temptations this week? Maybe doing something as radical as tying a bottle around your hand. There are different things we can do. Are you going to study more so that way you can give an answer for yourself wherever you go? Are you going to work on things such as seeing others greater than yourself? I think for myself, that's the one I'm going to pick to work on, especially working in a high school. Are you going to focus on these different things? Are you going to focus on the goal that we have, realizing that this world is not our home? We're just passing through it. I sincerely want to encourage each and every one of you to pick one of these things to work on this week. Meditate on them so that, as Paul said to Timothy, if we continue in them, we'll be saving both ourselves and those around us who hear us and also who see our example. So tonight, if you're a Christian and you need any prayers, or more than that, if you want any prayers, if you want the prayers of your church to help you, to help push you to do the challenges that we have set forth for you, don't be afraid. Come forward. Ask for those prayers. Also, if you're not a Christian this evening, but you know what you need to do, and tonight's tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.